Good evening, and thank you for tuning into North Shore Medical Center's Health Link, your link to good health. This is It's Real. This is Melanie, your host. I am so privileged today and honored to have with us an internationally known physician coming from North Shore Medical Center talking to us about prostate cancer, which I'm sure is a huge, huge topic for those listeners out there who have definitely been affected by this. I want to encourage you right now, so we get this done early, to call in with any questions that you may possibly have so we can take advantage of the knowledge base that we have with us today. The telephone numbers to call in for Dade County is 305-532-1490. For Broward County is 954-525-1490. And toll free is 1-888-599-9626. So thank you for coming in, Dr. Conrad.
Thank you for having me.
Prostate cancer, wow, which is one of the major killers for African-American males. Please tell us exactly what this killer is all about. What is prostate cancer?
The prostate is an organ associated with reproduction, with fertility. It is physically located deep in the pelvis. Prostate, more than any other organ, is prone to developing cancer. That cancer can spread, and that's how it kills.
How is it prone to developing cancer? Why would you say that?
We don't understand why the prostate, more than so many other organs, is predisposed to developing cancer. Consider that next to the prostate are other organs involved in fertility. As an example, an organ we never hear about because it never caused any problems, something called the seminal vesicle, which also is associated physically with the prostate. That organ never gets prostate cancer. What it is about the prostate that causes it to be so different and so dangerous is not known.
Is the prostate something similar to or close by the colon? Because I think some people may get that confused.
The prostate lies physically adjacent to the rectum, which is the last portion of the colon. The reason there's some confusion about the two organs is that to examine the prostate, a doctor will put his finger in the rear end and is actually through the rectal wall, through the colon wall, that he can feel the contours of the prostate to detect suspicious signs.
Now, typically, how is this diagnosed? They would go through this step with you first, or do they have some sort of symptoms to think that they possibly may have prostate cancer or some kind of problem in that area?
The prostate is predisposed to several diseases. Cancer is one of them and is by far the most ominous, obviously. But the prostate also is prone to enlargement, which has nothing to do with cancer, and that enlargement very commonly is associated with symptoms. For that reason, because the prostate so commonly develops two diseases, one which is benign but symptomatic, and one which is potentially fatal and not symptomatic, that there's some confusion about what causes what. In other words, does the cancer cause symptoms?
Mm-hmm.
The cancer does not cause the symptoms, but can coexist with the symptoms and with the benign enlargements. It's important to distinguish cancer from the benign enlargement, which is symptomatic.
Okay, so if my father, for instance, had a pain in his groin area, he would go just to get it checked out, just to make sure, even though it may not possibly be cancerous, is that what you're saying?
In all likelihood, any pain a man might describe in that region, deep in the pelvis, is not a sign of cancer. I'm not saying it cannot be a sign of cancer, but in 99% of the cases, symptoms, pain, burning, pressure feelings, are not explained by cancer.
Okay. If this is the most prominent place in the man's body that causes cancer, but there's no symptoms, how do they know that he has prostate cancer, or what does he do?
The early diagnosis of prostate cancer, in other words, the diagnosis of prostate cancer at a stage where it can be cured, requires vigilance, requires knowledge, requires the knowledge that prostate cancer happens and that it does not cause symptoms at a stage when it can be cured. So the question then becomes, what are the steps necessary to remain vigilant? In essence, today there are two steps, two tests. One is a blood test and the other is the physical exam, as I described earlier. The blood test, known as the prostate-specific antigen, or PSA test, is something that can be done when you have your cholesterol checked. It's a very easy test to do. That test shows and quantifies the risk of prostate cancer, such that the higher the value of the test, the higher the risk of having prostate cancer. neither test, neither the physical examination nor the blood test, prove prostate cancer. They simply alert you to the risk. They raise red flags, but they don't actually show that there is a danger.
At what age does a person tend to start to take these tests and start to become more vigilant about their care and the prostate cancer possibilities?
It's very difficult to set precise guidelines. We know that the older a man gets, the more likely it is that he will have prostate cancer. But we also know that there are other factors associated with the risk of prostate cancer. For example, family history. If a man has a brother with prostate cancer, he is at a much higher risk of being diagnosed himself than a man who does not have a brother with prostate cancer. So the assessment of risk really has to integrate numerous factors, age and family history being two of them.
Okay. I know that you've been working on this a long time. Why don't you tell us how long that's really been that you have really been researching and delving into this prostate cancer area?
Making it sound like I'm an old man.
No, I know that you're not, but I know that you're very knowledgeable.
I've been working on prostate cancer intensively for just over 15 years, probably.
Wow. So there's
more to come. It's just the beginning.
I understand that because there's so much more, I'm sure, they're out there to learn. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of your educational background and how did you start specifically getting into this type of cancer?
I became interested in prostate cancer for all the wrong reasons, in a sense, just luck, the way things happened. It has to do with an esoteric conversation I had with somebody at the Bronx VA in the mid-1980s. A man who was looking at a new electron microscope and was interested in minerals and was looking at phosphorus and tattoos, which I thought was silly, you know. And so I said, why don't you do something useful? Why don't you look at zinc in the prostate? Because I just read some blurb about it. And he did, and he found some, and that got me interested in zinc in the prostate, a subject about which we don't understand very much and which apparently has very little meaning. Nonetheless, it became my obsession. And on cold winter nights while I was the doctor at Yonkers Raceway, I read more and more. Well, all that work eventually turned into a chapter in a book. It's the only chapter ever published on zinc in the prostate, and it only came about because of a very strange conversation that I had one night. And that chapter led to more invitations and more reading, and that's how it spiraled out of control to make me interested in prostate cancer.
Well, that's very interesting. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Now, for the listeners out there, they probably know that you have pretty much pioneered this new surgery called the laparoscopic prostate surgery. Why don't you tell us a little bit what that's all about?
One of the treatments for prostate cancer in the early stages, in other words, cancer that has not spread outside the prostate, is an operation called the radical prostatectomy, which means simply the removal of the entire prostate and some of the adjoining organs like the seminal vesicles. That operation has been around for 100 years. The problem with that operation, with the radical prostatectomy, is that it isn't fun to have. It's associated with a lot of bleeding, or can be associated with a lot of bleeding, and can be very debilitating, knocking men off their feet from a functional point of view for a month, month and a half. So one of the holy grails of prostate cancer treatment has been to try to reduce the pain and suffering associated with the standard therapy. Laparoscopy came along in the last 15 years and has now been refined to a point where we can apply it to a difficult operation, what historically has been a difficult operation. So the laparoscopic radical prostatectomy is simply the application of new technologies, ones that reduce pain and suffering, to a very important tool in the management of prostate cancer.
Okay. Well, we do have some calls on the line. I want to get back to that. We're going to get back to that. I want to find out a little bit more about that surgery. But let's take the call on the phone. Hi, is this Melanie? Who am I speaking with?
Hello, Melanie. You're talking with Dirk Mattox.
Oh, hi, Mr. Mattox. I'm so happy that you were able to call in. You just happened to be one who just had the surgery with Dr. Conrad not too long ago, correct?
Yes, just a week and a half ago.
Wow, that's fabulous. I want you to tell us a little bit about how the whole process was for you and your recovery period, and what was the experience like?
Well, I would say the experience for an operation was rather smoothly. On 18 July, I went into operation. I awoke after, I guess, about 3 hours with little to no discomfort, and was coached to my hospital room. And from that point on, I was monitored and, I guess, coached and given guidance. And now I'm kicking my heels high.
That's pretty fast. On the 18th, that was not too long ago.
Yes.
How were you diagnosed with prostate cancer?
Well, in October of 2002, my doctor here, Camacho, got a reading of a PSA of 6.5, I believe it was, and was quite concerned and encouraged me to get biopsy. I did so, and it was benign.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 6 months later, I went to him again for another test, PSA at 8.5. And again, he was very concerned and insisted or encouraged me to get another biopsy. Of course, I went to my doctor. He did a full-scale one, whereby he anesthetized me and did 14 points, whatever he calls it. And of the 14 points, one of them showed a trait of contamination of cancer cells.
Now, during this whole time that you were going through all these different tests, were you experiencing any pain?
None at all. That's the frightening part. I felt normal. I'm reasonably active. I run. I exercise. I felt normal.
Mm-hmm.
It was the test that encouraged me to take the next step to get the biopsy. And the biopsy confirmed cancer. And when that came about, it was quite nervous. And mm-hmm. that's when I began to do my research and looking at my options.
Options were they that you had?
Well, ironically, Dr. Conrad's option was not available. At least I was not aware of it. The ones that I was made aware of were radical prostatectomy, seed implant, and chemo. And none of those sounded acceptable to me, so I proceeded to do my own research. And, of course, I came up with his website. And upon coming up with his website, I made a telephone call to his office
mm-hmm.
and had the opportunity to talk with his staff, who was very informative and very professional. And I had a couple of weeks to think about it and went back to them and then talked with Dr. Conrad. He provided no current guarantees but assured me that I would get professional treatment. And the way they dealt with me made me feel very comfortable in a very, in my very trying time for me. So I elected to go out, fly out, and get the surgery. And I'm sure I made the best possible decision. I'm very pleased with it.
Well, I am so excited. I want to thank you so much. I think that this is wonderful that you had a chance to call into us. I'm so happy that you were able to talk about all the great services that you did receive at North Shore Medical Center, how Dr. Conrad was able to assist you with that, and that you actually went and you did a lot of research on your own, which is
yes.
one of the things that Dr. Conrad was talking about before, how it's so important for us to really take heed of our own health and take control of that.
And there was no pain, I must say, from day one to today.
Mm-hmm.
Ever so often you experience some discomfort, but I have not felt any pain to date, and I think I am basically recovered quite well.
And how long were you at North Shore Medical Center when you were having the surgery?
2 days max. Mm-hmm. Went in on the 18th, Friday morning,
mm-hmm.
and I left Saturday in the early afternoon. And I was walking. As a matter of fact, my wife had me out throughout at Ventura Mall,
uh-huh.
at Ventura Mall shopping on that Sunday and that Monday.
2 days, you were just doing things. You were back into normal.
Back into normal.
That is wonderful, wonderful. I appreciate you so much for calling in and sharing with us your experience. I'm so happy that it was a positive one and you were able to take care of the situation that you had. And I'm so happy you were able to come down here to Miami and have some fun with us at North Shore Medical Center, even though it was a lot of fun. But at least you left and now you're able to talk about it and share your experience for those other people who may be going through the situation or scared. And I want you to really encourage, why don't you just tell our audience why it was so important for you to really take advantage of your health like you did and just be concerned and get out there and get some research and just take advantage of you. That's exactly what you did.
Yes. You want me to tell them that?
Yes.
Oh, most certainly. I for sure. For men, that's something that we experience, and you'll never know from feeling it. So testing and testing early is very important. I'm fortunate in that I caught mine at an early stage, but I'm fortunate too in that my primary doctor encouraged me to go beyond just the regular test. And I think that if anyone think of themselves and of their families, they will pay close attention to something like this. And it is a traumatic experience. Trust me, it is a frightening experience. And none of my doctors, whom I know all quite well, to the extent that some are my friends, could not make those decisions for me. They could only tell me what's available. And you also have to do research beyond that. And some of my friends who had gone through this through different experiences. So I elected to go my way, and my way was with Dr. Krongrat, and I'm extremely pleased with it. The results are fantastic for me.
I'm so happy to hear that. I want to thank you so much for calling in. We do have some other calls, but thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
And your sharing your experience with us.
You're welcome.
Have a great evening, sir.
You too, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, this is Melanie. Hello.
I think we Hello.
Hello, how are
hey.
You?
I'm Melvin.
Hello.
And I'm calling about, I had a prostate test.
Uh-huh.
And is it supposed to be painful once they touch the prostate or from the rectum, you know? This actually is supposed to be so painful.
Hi, Melvin.
Hi.
Are you talking about the blood test?
No. With the finger, when you use your finger to the rectum.
Right. That was painful. The examination was painful.
Okay. All right.
Is that what you mean, the examination?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pain on examination can be from numerous sources. For example, hemorrhoids, if those are present, can sometimes cause quite a bit of pain when they're manipulated.
Okay.
So in other words, inflammations of the lower rectum and the anus, fissures, fistulas and hemorrhoids, those are all going to be tender. If the pain was from the prostate, which is also possible, it indicates infection typically. So pain in and of itself during the examination does not suggest cancer.
All right.
Thank you for calling, Melvin. We're going to continue to go on to that subject. If someone was having pain, then they need to just talk to their primary care doctor about doing some further testing.
Well, the first thing to do is to report it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're being examined by a doctor.
Right.
You say, ow, that hurts. Message delivered.
I want to thank the callers for calling in again. And if anyone else has any other calls, please do so. We're going to be wrapping up pretty soon, but we do have some time to take some more callers. And if you have questions and you can't get through today, you can also reach North Shore Medical Center's patient referral line, which can be reached at 1-888-836-3848. Again, that's North Shore Medical Center's physician referral line at 1-888-836-3848. And I want to get back to Dr. Krongrat. I want to talk a little bit more about this surgery and what makes it different from the radical surgery, since you said the other one takes so much longer for the patients to recover, and this gentleman had just called us 2 days. So what's the difference between the two surgeries?
It's important to understand that the laparoscopic radical prostatectomy, the LRP, is a radical prostatectomy. So in its essence, the conventional open radical prostatectomy and the newer laparoscopic radical prostatectomy deliver the very same treatment. That point is sometimes lost because people confuse technique for treatment. So it's the same treatment, both remove the prostate. The differences have to do with the manner in which the prostate is removed. Historically, all surgery was done with a knife, with an incision, and with an opening of the abdominal cavity. With the newer techniques, we no longer incise the abdominal wall. We no longer part the abdominal wall. Instead, we make tiny puncture wounds, some no bigger than 5 millimeters, through which we insert instruments that are at most 4 millimeters in diameter. So essentially little puncture wounds. We also introduce a camera so that we don't rely on direct vision of the prostate, but instead on an image transmitted to a television screen. It is in the magnification afforded by the camera, in the illumination afforded by the camera, and in the precision delivered by that, or enabled by that very precise view, that we perform a very specific and very precise dissection using these more delicate instruments. The prostate is thus delivered through a very tiny incision by the belly button. We get much less bleeding, and because we don't open the belly, a lot less pain.
Wow, didn't know that was so technical. It was not as technical as you said it, but I think it's pretty basic. I didn't know that probably was out there for our listeners to understand that something can be done so easily without going to the stomach, because once you start cutting open people on the abdominal, in the abdominal area, it gets kind of
painful.
Painful.
They don't like it.
I think we do have another caller coming in on the line. Hi, this is Melanie.
Hi, my name is Nora.
Hi, Nora.
I would like to know how often should a man of an age, 53, should have a prostate test?
Or the PSA test that Congrats was mentioning?
Uh-huh.
The trick with most 53-year-olds is to get him in for the first one.
He's had one. He's had a couple within the last few years.
Okay, and do you know the results?
They said it was fine, you know.
Let me alert you to one potential problem already. The word fine is very nonspecific. The word fine isn't a number, and therefore it does not quantify the risk.
Yeah.
There's some confusion out there about where risk exists and where risk does not exist.
Okay.
Specifically, most folks until last week, and I'll tell you in a second what happened last week, but most folks until about a week ago believed that up to four was quote-unquote normal, or quote-unquote fine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the designation of normal or fine is that it connotes that there is no risk.
Uh-huh.
When, in fact, the scientific data on this point have shown very consistently, and we've known this for a few years now, that in the so-called normal range,
mm-hmm.
there is a risk of approximately 25% of having a positive biopsy.
Okay,
so when you say fine, and when you hear fine from somebody else,
uh-huh.
you really want to search out more information. You want specifics. You want to know what was the test result, and therefore, what is the associated risk? What is the likelihood of a positive biopsy? I mean, 53-year-old man is not an old man. This is a man who needs to know what his risk is, specifically.
Right.
Now, last week, the media got hold of the scientific data, which have been out there, and finally helped at least start to dispel the notion that below four is normal. The so-called new normal is now 2.5. That's an important step. It's an important step in public awareness that risk exists below four and that the word normal is potentially very misleading. And I have a feeling that you're kind of clued into that.
Yeah, well, I have his records, you know, but I really didn't know the numbers of what it really meant. You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's important that you go to the next step. I think you ought to search out the specific number.
Okay.
And then discuss with his doctor to put it into perspective for you. The PSA test is one important variable.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not he's got symptoms to suggest the PSA may be elevated, if it is elevated, maybe due to something else like infection, his family history of prostate cancer, his family history of breast cancer, these are all important variables, and medications that he's on that may be causing some artificial fluctuations in the PSA.
Okay, well, he had a surgery for a tumor, a cancerous tumor that was in his stomach, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they removed that, and he's been doing fine since.
Good.
But I had to ask them to give him a prostate test, you know?
I think that's right. You should.
Is that something? I'm sorry.
I mean, I had to really, for this test, and they asked me why. I said, he's 50. I mean, I was told that a 50-year-old man should always be tested for prostate. You
is
know
that something
I mean?
They should be doing on a pretty regular basis, like once a year when they
exactly.
do?
Well, let's make some assumptions, which are going to be true for most men in their 50s, and that is that they are relatively healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, everything has to be taken in perspective. Okay. Look, if the guy's paraplegic, if the guy's severely diabetic and has had a stroke, you know, the recommendations are going to vary on screening for new diseases. But let's assume that the men are healthy. That's a healthy 53-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, the time to detect prostate cancer is before it's symptomatic. That's when you can do something about it. The question as to how often to repeat it is a little tricky also. I mean, if the test comes back very low, let's say 0.4 nanograms per milliliter, the likelihood that you're going to have a serious rise in the next year is extremely low. You may want to wait a couple of years. On the other hand, if the test is 1.9 and then a year later it's 2.3, you shouldn't wait 2 years.
And it keeps rising.
If he what?
And the number keeps rising, then you...
Of course, then you have to take...
Right.
That's why the decision about biopsying and really being aggressive with the diagnosis of prostate cancer has to take into account more than just one single absolute value. There's more to it than that.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Nora. We appreciate
that.
And I think our listeners will appreciate it. Just, you really have to just go. Go take a test and have a relationship with your primary care physician. And, you know, move to the next step. And then possibly if they need something more, they can come for some sort. There's some options out there for them. Options, and that's the surgery. One of them is the surgery that you was telling us a little bit about. How many surgeries do you do of this laparoscopic surgery?
Well, it varies, obviously. So far, in the first half of this year, we did 150 of these. You know, the weekly numbers will vary from, say, 5 to 9 a week. So it's pretty busy. But what you said is right, and that is that the LRP really has opened options for patients who otherwise are very intimidated by the thought of surgery. One of the barriers to effective treatment has been fear of side effects, pain and suffering. And while the LRP does not completely eliminate those considerations, it certainly puts a huge dent in that barrier.
What would be your reasoning, or what would you think of why African-American males tend to be the ones who have a large number of prostate cancer cases? Or at least that's what we're told.
Well, the statistics do bear that out, mm-hmm. But I have no special insights about why mm-hmm. that is the case, just as I have no real specialized science into why there is so much prostate cancer versus other cancers.
Do you think it can simply be because of maybe we're not getting out there and being more knowledgeable about our health and more vigilant about the things that we're about taking care of ourselves? I think we're not asking the right questions, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, we see prostate cancer in everybody. It's just a very common disease across the board. Apparently, there is a higher incidence mm-hmm. In African Americans. But, you know, we used to talk a lot about differences in education. I've been involved with all kinds of programs, including this one, to talk to audiences that are primarily African Americans. I don't know that the awareness is as big an issue as it was, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I hear about it, and maybe it's just me, maybe there's a bias in what I'm exposed to, but I don't have the same sense that I did, say, 10 years ago, that there's an information barrier.
Well, then that means it's getting better.
That's right. I think so. That's what I'm saying.
Right, and I think that's great. I want to remind all our listeners out there that if you do have some more questions or have any questions about any kind of health issue that you may be challenged with, you can call North Shore Medical Center's physician referral line, and that number is 1-888-836-3848. Again, that's 1-888-836-3848. And I especially want to thank Dr. Congrath for coming and sharing some really enlightening information to us about prostate cancer and the surgeries and our options, and also having a caller come in who really had a good experience and was able to share with us his true, how he was just so taken aback and how really you just have to get out there and take care of yourself. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us.
You're welcome.
And I encourage all our listeners, we'll be back here next week, and we'll be talking about kidney disease, a little bit of some diabetes, and just some things about your health, because that's what it's all about. So stay tuned to next week. We'll be back on North Shore Medical Center's Health Link, your link to good health. It's real. It's Melanie. Take care.